If I didn't call your name, anyone whose name I did not call, should have done this at the beginning. Okay. You're not on the official roll sheet if I didn't call your name, so we'll need to make sure that you have an enrollment slip next week. I'm really, really quickly going to talk about principles of animation and explain. I'm not going to talk about each of the principles. I'm just going to show them and explain why they are here. So, has anyone read Scott McCloud's book on comics? What's it called? Like how comics work or something like that?
Understanding
comics. That's it. Yes, thank you. It's a really interesting book in terms of being able to tell stories visually, and some of the clues, some of the techniques that the comic book artists use to communicate action, emotion, and stuff like that. When we're talking about interaction design, a lot of what happens is action. We are doing something. We are interacting. The device is reacting in return. There are emotional states that happen when people are experiencing things, right? So if you look at the sketches that people produce of interactions, even the stick figures that they put into these sketches often have facial expressions and they have emotional reactions, right? It's like the exclamation points that are shooting out of someone's head, right? What's that mean?
Excitement
or frustration or anger or something, right? It's like, I don't understand how this works. I'm frustrated. Or the question mark of confusion. So there are things that we do in sketch form that we can communicate what's happening in the experience. But since a lot of what we do involves things like motion and transitions, things that we would really consider to be the nuance of the design, right? We've already figured out how it works and what information is necessary. We end by thinking about things like, is it going to fade? Is it going to grow? Is it going to slide? Is it going to shrink into a dot? You know, those are decisions that we make really late in the process. That's where we're refining the experience. But we still need to represent those things sometimes in sketches before we actually jump in and start making that happen. So animation artists have a great toolbox that they use to communicate how movement happens and how the characters are feeling or what they are doing. And so these are just some of these techniques. And to give you a sense, things like anticipation, preparation for an action. In the animation world, if you want a character to run forward in animation, you don't go from stop to forward. You actually do a little backward prep and launch, right? So just that little bit of backward and then go helps more clearly communicate the action, and it sometimes feels a lot more natural. So how many of you have worked with digital animation? You've done effects, flash, after effects, things like that. So you're familiar with the easing equations, right? So the easing equations are just math that defines how does something accelerate, how does it maintain speed, how does it decelerate, is there a little bit of bounce at either end, does it accelerate rapidly and decelerate slowly, does it accelerate slowly and then rapidly stop or rapidly decelerate. So the easing equations are just different mathematical models for that type of thing. But what's important about it is that real world motion doesn't start, constant velocity, and end, right? Real world biological motion builds up speed, has a little bit of variability, sometimes overshoots the target, slows down gradually. And so we often build nuance into the interaction designs to make things feel more natural to us. And so we try to represent those in sketch form. So these are just some of the techniques that animation artists use that we can learn from. And there's a handful of them in here that are really important. Things like arcs, right? The path of the motion. If you've ever done flash animation, then you know that you can animate an object along a non-linear path. And if you change the velocity along the way, you can get things that maybe look like a real bird flying, or the random sort of chaotic nature of dragonflies as they're flying around. But they're moving along a path. And so does anyone use Path, the social network? You have the app on your devices? So if you look at the little nuances of their interactions, like whenever you are logged in or you turn it on, and you've got that little menu down in the corner, the little circular, arc menu down in the corner, when you press the things there, how they respond, the spin, the expand, and the contraction, are signals, they're feedback mechanisms to us that indicate I've been touched, I'm doing something, I'm about to open, you have just finished, I am closing back down. And these little motions are a little bit different for each one of these different meanings. So we think of things like that, like what's it going to look like when it's opening? What's it going to look like when it closes? It's not necessarily that action then just completely in reverse, it may be slightly adjusted. And we need to figure out how to represent those when we're trying to talk to people. One of the funny things about a lot of these nuances of the designs is not just how we try and draw it, like it does this and it does this, we use gestures and motions and we'll even add our own side effects like whoop, and whoop, 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 whoop. But you understand, right? We hear the sound and we understand what that means. So we're trying to communicate what are sometimes things that can only really be communicated by like the final design, but we're trying to do it really quickly when we haven't coded it up. So sketch and gesture and sound effect. So that's why these are here. There's a few links down under here where this information came from. So principles of animation and principles of traditional animation, if you're interested in that. And like I said, the only reason it's up here, you don't have to use this, but the only reason it's up here is because we're beginning to sketch tonight. And some of you are going to want to capture some of the reactions of the interfaces or some of the motion of the device. Like, what if you're doing something with a handheld device and shaking it is part of what the interaction is? How do you draw this, right? It's like, well, I have a hand, here's my device, and I've got a hand. Right, that's holding it.
You're missing a finger.
Yeah, it's behind there. There, does that make you feel better? Okay. So here's my device, there's your little Apple button because it probably would never be anything else. How do I indicate that it's not a vibration, it's not like, right? Like I could just go, right? Like it's vibrating, I could draw that. But what do I do for a shake? How do I indicate that it's of the device? It's,
like kind of
you're doing this RSS. In space.
A couple RSS feeds.
Okay, so she says, I like that, a couple RSS feeds. So you're doing them bigger, right? Something like this.
Right.
Okay, so maybe that's the shake.
No, the arrows.
Or you can do arrows.
One to
like
the right,
point,
one to the left.
Exactly.
Point in or point out?
Point out. Yeah.
Point out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like this. That communicates really linear, right? Like this, but this is...
So it's like the arrow.
No, but see,
you can put an arrow on the arc.
How hard could it possibly be, right? Well, there's another technique that you can use that's called ghosting. Do you do that
exactly.
at all?
Exactly, I do that all
yeah,
the time.
So you show...
Yeah.
Right? So now the idea, see the arc of the movement, like the shake? We get that little bit of the arc of the movement. So we see now the phone can be shaken, and we use ghosting to say, here's where the phone is located as I shake it. Simple, this is just an example. You don't have to get into this level of detail tonight or in your sketches, but you are inevitably going to have some component of your sketches where it's not just the shape of the device and it's not just where the screen is located, but it's that someone is gesturing or that someone is touching or that someone is holding or moving or sliding or two-finger, three-finger gesture, whatever it happens to be. So some way of representing some of those things, because we move when we interact. And that inevitably is going to need to be captured at some point in the design. All right, so the exercise this evening, and then the homework assignment is going to be based on the same type of exercise we're doing. The homework assignment is to create sketches for your concept device. And we're thinking here, this is not wireframe, so you are not yet doing the interface, right? You're doing the ecosystem of the experience. Where's the device? How does it fit into the larger environment? What is the scale relative to a person? How is the person interacting with it, like wearing it, touching it, stepping on it, you know, dancing at the arcade? Whatever it happens to be, it's the interaction and the device itself in the environment, not the interface, because starting next week, we're going to start working on interfaces. So don't worry about the digital bit yet. It's everything physically that wraps around it, and how people maybe approach it, or stand at it, or have to be postured for it, or how it is held, things like that. All right, so what you're gonna do is go back to your coffee machine exercise, the coffee vending machine, but this time I want you to focus on the visuals and start sketching your vending machine. What's the shape and size? Where is it located? How do people approach it? Think about things like different perspectives. So if we've got a coffee vending machine, what if, you know, we're in a public space and the coffee vending machine is here, this is looking down from above, how are we going to manage traffic so that people don't queue up at this machine and get in the way of people who are trying to pass through the public space? Right? Maybe that's one of the things that you need to sketch. So it's in the hallway of Muni, but you don't want people to line up across the hall, because then everyone walking up and down is going to be bumping into the people in line. So things like that about the positioning. If it's a coffee vending machine, is it one of the big, you know, blocky looking things that we're used to seeing? You know, relative. Or is it something like it's inset into the wall? And you do all of your choice over here. You pay. People line up this way. They move this way. They take their coffee. And they happily sip their coffee as they head away, right? So that type of sketch, that type of fidelity is all we're looking for. Just thinking about the larger space, the larger interactions. We are not mapping the interface. So we're thinking about ergonomics and stuff like that tonight. All right, you can get back with your previous group. If they're not here, you can join any other group. We're all working. It's just, this is not part of your personal project, so we're just trying to sketch up. The exercise here is to not appoint an official sketcher in your group. Everyone should be doing some of the sketching and the participating. So what you might want to do is say, what are the different ideas for the shape? What were you thinking? What is it? Or what are some, if we want it to be about the size, what are some different ways that we could handle the approach? Or maybe you break it up in tasks. What's it look like from a certain elevation, right? What's it look like front on? How are we going to manage traffic from above? Where are we going to put payment versus configuration of the coffee versus picking up the product? Maybe you break it up into tasks. But everyone should be sketching. Don't appoint a sketcher, because you're going to have to sketch for your own assignment, so practice now.
What about the alternate version?